Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we have author Drew Paglisotti, I hope I didn't mess up your name, to chat about Clockwork Lies Ironweed. Welcome, Drew.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I didn't butcher your name too bad, did I?
No, that's great. I should get a pen name.
Yeah. Well, Drew's a great name.
I do like that one. The other one's a little bit difficult for most people.
Yeah, I kind of stuck to your diminutive of your name. why don't you tell the audience a bit about yourself and your background?
All right. Well, I'm an Air Force brat. I spent most of my time moving around, so I can't claim any one particular place as home. I've sort of settled here in Southern California because of my job, but I still like to get out of the country about once a year if I can. I'm a professor and the chair of the communication department at California Lutheran University, which is a little liberal arts university about halfway between Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, for all the people who don't know this area. And I've been writing all of my life, but I really only started to get serious about getting published maybe the last few years after I first finished my dissertation and got settled into my job and was ready to, like, sort of look beyond the immediate career goals.
I know you professors have to write, like, books for their job. Did that interfere with your creative writing?
Well, it does take some of the time. That's part of the reason I had to sort of finish my dissertation and get a couple of other things published so that I could get tenure before I was able to really concentrate on fiction. Right now I'm sort of juggling things. I've got a talk that I'm working on right now and a paper that's due in fall that I'm working on, but I'm sort of squeezing the writing in around that.
Yeah, it must have really hard schedule. How do you work it out between your personal life and your creative life when you want to concentrate on your creative writing?
I wish I had an answer for that. If anyone does, like, tell them to call in and let me know, because I have no idea. I'm a professor, so I have a lot of autonomy over my own time, and I get these great summer breaks, which makes a big difference. And, you know, I'm single, I don't have any children, so that also makes a big difference. I don't really have to answer to too many people for my time. And most of my friends in the area are all professors, so if I tell them, well, I need to work, I'm not going to talk to you for a few days, they don't get offended by that. You know, they've all been there, so... So, it, you know, I can carve out the time, but it's tough. You know, especially when I'm teaching and working as chair. So my summers are really my big writing time.
So it's coming up.
Oh, thank heavens, yes.
What is your passion in when you're doing relaxation reading? What kind of books do you like? What kind of book ignites your imagination?
Wow. I read pretty broadly. In fiction, I like genre fiction. I like steampunk. I like fantasy. I like some science fiction. I read a lot of mysteries. And, you know, sometimes I'll pick up a Western, things like that. But probably I'd say mysteries and fantasy are probably the big genres for me. And then nonfiction, I'm kind of a self-help junkie, I have to admit. I read a lot of stuff that's, you know, designed to, you know, make my life better and, you know, one book. And I've read hundreds of them, and so far I haven't seen a lot of change. But
yeah, I know. You think you're really passionate, you're reading it, and you think it's going to help because you feel the change, and then, nothing.
Yeah, I you know, some women, like, believe in that miracle in a bottle.
Yeah.
Me, it's a miracle in a book, you know. I'm going to read the book, and somehow it's going to transform me.
Yeah, me too. I've done that a lot of times. I mean, in some ways they do, because they just add to your knowledge bank.
Right.
But if you expect an overnight change, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, very true. I started taking up meditation, and boy, that's a long-haul project.
Oh, I love meditation. I'm a meditation, yoga, and all that. I love spiritual stuff, but meditation really helps you through the tough stuff.
Yeah, it gets me going, you know, through this departmental stuff, and then I can sort of relax when it finally comes time to do my writing.
Yeah, I understand that. Do you what was the first book that you remember reading, and how did it touch you?
Ooh, boy, that's a tough one. My mom used to read to me at bedtime, and I think one of the first ones she read to me was Alice in Wonderland. I don't know if that was the first book I read. I'm sure there were like some little kid books and things that I was reading, but I did finally get to the point where I started to read ahead of her on the book.
you know, I think we all do that, though.
So it's probably Alice in Wonderland. When my mom died, I found those old books that she had read to me from in her possessions, and so now they have place of honor on my bookshelves.
That's beautiful. That really is. I love that. Yeah, my dad was the reader in the family, and he used to read to us. And when he passed away, my brother and I split up all his books. Well, my mom took some too, but it's sort of like you put that where you can. It's a touchstone, you know. You can put it where you can see it. Like we both loved Harry Potter, so I have all his Harry Potters on my desk.
Yeah, well, it's funny that a book is more than just a story, right? It's also the relationship with other people, you know, the people who read it to you or the people you shared it with and talked about it with.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have, like, a favorite author?
Oh, I've got a lot.
Mystery and science fiction, because you said those were your two passions.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I have so many. I don't know that I could just name one or two. It's, you know, in all these Facebook things, they always ask you, name your favorite authors, and I'm like, well, gosh, it depends. You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm like that with movies, because everybody knows I'm a classic movie buff, and they say, what's your favorite movie? And I'm like, can't answer that, because I have one or two almost in every category of genre you can think of.
Yeah, you know, and I keep finding new authors too, so yeah, it's. I don't think I can answer that one easily at all.
Did you have a favorite when you were a kid? I mean, mine was Agatha Christie and Ellery Queen.
Oh, gosh, well, I read all of the sort of what are now the classics, right? You know, I read Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, Andre Norton, I think some of her stuff, Anne McCaffrey's, you know, Harper Hall stuff, sort of the young adult group. Yeah, some of that stuff, probably when I was a kid.
Okay. Do you have a love of history, and does it have a part in creating your stories?
I really like parts of history. So when I was a kid, I loved the medieval period, and I loved feudal Japan. And then as I got older, I got really into Victorian and Regency England. I'm fascinated by the French Revolution. I love sort of that gritty 1940s America, you know, stuff. So I like bits and pieces like that. So, yeah, it does have an effect on my work. Clockwork Heart is steampunk, so it's been influenced a lot by 19th century England and Europe, of course. But travel also affects my work a lot. So Clockwork Heart's also been influenced by my visit to India and some of my other later books, my visits to other countries. So, and, of course, I study the history of the countries that I've been in. So, yeah, I would say there's a lot. My next novel will probably be influenced by the French Revolution.
Oh, that's cool. That is really cool.
Yeah. Well, just the idea. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. What were we going to say?
I was just going to say that idea of social unrest, you know, is really interesting to me.
Vive la France!
Yeah, well, that was quite a time.
Yes, it was. It was a time of, you know, any revolution is going to be full of upheaval, especially since a revolution is usually battling within. It's like a civil war, even though, because there are people that are cousins and brothers and sisters who are fighting with each other. So it's a very difficult period. I know they're happening today, and I just I feel for those countries that are going through it. It's a devastating thing, and a good thing and a devastating thing. It depends which side you're on.
Yeah. Well, there's good and bad in all the change, I think. It's funny that we brought that up because that sort of happens in my trilogy. You know, it goes through this point where the society is changing. You know, the city that they're in, the government they're in is being forced to change in a way it doesn't want to. And I think especially in like the third book that's going to come out later, we really get into the repercussions of that on the social fabric.
So that's a good segue to explain what your series is about and to give the audience a taste of what they can take away from it.
All right, well, the series, it's Clockwork Heart Trilogy, and I've written the first book as a standalone novel. It's a steampunk romance, and it's a fantasy because it's not set in Victorian England the way so many other steampunk novels are. It's set in a fictional world. But so the main character is Taya, who's an Icarus, or a courier, who flies using this armature that's made out of a lighter-than-air metal called Ondium. And that's the resource that the city that she's in, Ondinium, controls. So the first book is about her trying to solve a murder, and then she gets caught up in political turmoil and terrorism and unexpected romance and all that good stuff.
All the things that make life worth living.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. It was a fun book to write, and I did it sort of on a whim. And then I was asked if I would write some sequels to it. So I did. So the second book is just out. That's Iron Wind. And in this one, she is working with her new husband, who's Undinian's ambassador, to monitor flight technologies. And some assassin keeps trying to kill them, and so they're trying to figure out why and uncover a plot. And, you know, slowly, the entire trilogy moves into this situation where there's been a lot of resentment against the country that she lives in and represents. And so she has to sort of decide, you know, how she can reconcile, especially since her husband's the ambassador, her own, like, love for her country with her recognition of its flaws. But we sound far more serious than the actual series is. Hopefully the series is mostly, what I hope readers are going to take away from it is a lot of, you know, action and banter, repartee between the characters.
There's a fun part to it.
It's not as dark and serious as it sounds, but, you know, there's that thread that's sort of running through it.
Well, I think below the fun of books, there's always a lesson in every book. So there should be a little something serious in it, even if it's a total comedy. There's probably something somebody's trying to say to you or teach you in a way that's amusing and entertaining, because that's one of the best things that books do.
That's true, yeah. And for steampunk, it has a political edge to it anyway, just because of the nature of when it was being set. You know, the 19th century was a time with a lot of political upheaval and change, so I think any steampunk novel is probably going to address that in some way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Victorian to the Edwardian period is just a very interesting time. There's a lot there, so I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think is about the different styles in publishing, such as indie, traditional, indie sort of self, small publishers? Do you have any feeling toward that?
I've had some experience in those. As an author, I've been lucky enough to find an outside publisher for my fiction, which has been great. So, you know, they're able to handle all of that, you know, print, audio, ebook sort of transformation. But I've also been an editor. I run a very small micro press, I guess, called the Harrow Press that puts out an anthology of people's fiction, I don't know, once every couple of years. And so, you know, for our micro press, we have to do... It's not self-publishing because I'm publishing other people's work, but we are the publisher, and so that that ability to do e-books and print on demand has been fantastic because we don't have to maintain, like, stock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I haven't self-published anything of my own yet, but it sounds to me like that's really taking off. you know, it cuts out a lot of the middleman. Ever since bookstores have pretty much gone digital, you know, there's really no reason not to do that, I think.
Yeah.
The quality varies a lot. I have to say I read a lot of self-published works, and it ranges from, you know, pretty dismal to fantastic. And I think the fantastic writers have a lot of work to do because they really have to market themselves and get, like, you know, their fans to, you know, cheer them on so that other people will realize, you know, how good their works are. But I've read some that I've really liked.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the book. I mean, it's really difficult whether you're an indie or a self-published to get out there, which is mm-hmm. one of the reasons I started my show, is to help mm-hmm. new writers, especially people who are independent writers, whatever form it took, mm-hmm. or small publishers, which also you have to do your own publicity, because
oh, yeah.
I had such a hard time finding places to publicize my own book, so I wanted to help other authors too.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's necessary.
It is. It is.
I mean, unless you're Stephen King, you know,
yeah,
you got to work.
Yeah, or Dan Brown. Or
exactly.
Yeah, it's hard. And the, you know, the traditional big publishers, they seem, unless it's already a hit or their people are known one way, whatever way, celebrity or well-known author or celebrity or whatever, they don't want to touch you.
Yeah, it's tough. And even, you know, and the, even if they pick you up, they're putting most of their money into the celebrity authors. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, not celebrities as in movie star celebrities, but the ones with the big names. And the other people, they still have to do a lot of marketing on their own. You know, there's not a lot of support. It's tough.
It's true. It is true. It is true. I mean, well, if you're a movie star, you already have, like, you don't have to worry. You're going to get on The Tonight Show and David Letterman and stuff like that.
Very true.
You don't have to push.
Yeah. For writers, I guess it's Oprah, right? That's who everyone wants to get on.
Yeah, everybody wants to be a part of her book, her new book club.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rest of us, we struggle. But that's one of the things that's good about Blog Talk Radio and blogging and blog tours and stuff like that. We get the word out.
Yes.
And also going
yeah.
to conventions, like where I met you, and doing panels and things like that. It's another good tool for people in the fantasy and science fiction world, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a little rough on introverts like me. Putting ourselves out there like that.
Yeah, we did.
Yes, well, that's because, you know, under the table, nobody can see my knees knocking together. It's fear.
Hey, I was right next to you. I didn't hear anything. Drew and I did a panel at Conjecture Convention, and we had a lot of fun. And
yeah.
You were really good, and you were the moderator.
See, that's better because then you're sort of, you know, you don't have to say anything. It's like, so what do you think about that? Really, what do you think about that? A little bit like being a professor running a classroom, right? You just keep asking the students to discuss.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. It's funny because it was a lot. That was my first panel. I'd never been
Yay.
On a panel in my life when I did that. And I was scared to death. I thought I was going to make a fool of myself.
That's kind of the way I'm feeling about this podcast.
Oh, you're doing great. You're doing great.
Oh, well.
You're nothing to worry about. How did you feel when you got your book in the mail? I mean, to me, it was like getting a birthday present. How did you feel when you got your first book that you wrote?
Oh, man. It, you know, maybe like a life present or something like
yeah.
that. I mean, seriously, I've wanted to write books ever since I was a child. It's like the earliest goal I ever remember having. I wanted to be one of those people who wrote the kinds of books I was reading and loved so much. So when I got that copy of Clockwork Heart the first time, I honestly thought, well, I can die happy now. You know? Everything that I've done after that is just like bonus, you know? It's like icing on the cake, because that was like this moment where I said, okay, now I've achieved my life goal.
Yeah, I understand that.
So I love getting new stuff now, but you know, it's just extra. It's just like, this is fantastic, but you know, I would have been happy if I'd stopped there. That would have been okay.
Yeah, it's such a weird feeling. It's like, it when you hold it in your hand after you've been working so hard on it, I've never had a child, but I guess it's sort of like having a child.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't have a kid either, but I can only imagine that there's some similar resonance there.
Mhm. Yeah, pretty precious. I remember my when I got my, you know, you get your stack of books that you can, you know, well, you're supposed to send it out to reviewers, but you give it to your mom and
your
mom and dad and your brother and your best friend.
Yes. Hope my publisher's listening.
And I gave my first book that I gave away to my parents, especially my dad, because he was, like I said, he was a big thing. It was like, he actually had tears in his eyes. I mean, it's such an important thing for a writer. You know, you're just like, it's the best gift you can get is that book.
Yeah. My first book, it was a little bit bittersweet for me because it came out shortly after my mom died. And so I dedicated it to her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she knew that I've made the sale, you know, so I'm happy about that. But I would have liked for her to be able to see it, too. But
I know. Yeah, I know. After my father passed away, I couldn't write. And basically my mom and my brother told me, you know, your dad would kick your butt if he knew you gave up writing. So when I wrote my last book, the book that's out, Fantasy Time Inc., I dedicated it to my dad, but it was hard to get started again. I mean, did you find when your mom passed away that you kind of got, I never had writer's block before that. I had a huge writer's block.
Yeah, well, gosh, so many things just came to a standstill while we were, you know, sorting that all out. That, yeah, I wasn't doing much writing. It took a while. It took a while to get back again.
Yeah, the only thing I wrote was poetry because that's where I put all, when I'm upset, I write poetry. I mean, it's not, and most of it's not for publication. It's like getting me through my life.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. I'm a terrible poet. No poem I ever write will be for publication.
Well, I mean, I had a poem I wrote for my dad's funeral, but I mean, other than that, mostly it was just my torment, you know, and I wouldn't want anybody to read that. First of all, it's funny, whenever I get really upset or depressed or something, I write poetry, and if anybody read the poetry that I wrote for that, they would think I'm suicidal. But to me,
oh,
it's the way to get it all out, and I'm not.
Yeah, you're pulling it out of yourself. I mean, all writing, right? You're pulling it out of yourself, and you're putting it elsewhere, on paper, on the screen. And some of
it's
that we keep, and some of that we just tuck away. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the way they survive. But, yeah.
Creation,
thank God for that. Well, the other thing that you do is journal.
Uh-huh. Or I've got a friend who's an artist. You know, she did lots of paintings when she was in therapy. So, yeah, just that creative action of whatever sort it is.
Yeah, I saw actress Kim Novak on interview, and one of the things she said was that she was given a new lease on life and a new feel of freedom when she stopped acting and started doing her paintings and sculpture. Hmm. She said because it was the first thing that she was able to be creative with. When you're an actor, you're told what to do, but when you're an artist, like a visual arts, you do what you want to do. And she became very passionate when she was talking about it. And it was really touching. Because, I mean, you think about her, she was really an actress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised. I think that acting would be creative, but I've not done it, so.
Yeah. It's just interesting. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about what you're working on now. Are you working on the third part of the trilogy?
Third part of the trilogy is pretty much wrapped up. I sent in the edits earlier, so right now I'm just going to wait for the proofs to come back, and you can't make any changes really at that point. So that's done. So now I'm looking forward to my next project. I've got this political fantasy, the one that I said was sort of inspired by the French Revolution, that I've been working on for like years now. And it's like morphed from this very stereotypical medieval European fantasy to this diesel punk post-apocalyptic fantasy set somewhere in Southern Asia. it's gotten kind of weird, but I really like the direction that it's taking. But I'm not quite sure how it's going to end yet, this time around anyway.
So
that'll be the summer's project. I'm really hoping to wrap up a good, solid first draft of that over the summer, and then, you know, if I could actually get it into some sort of send-out to people form by the end of the year, it would be fantastic, but that may be too optimistic. You know? I always have these big plans for myself of what I'm going to get done, and then I realize I just don't have that much time, or energy, maybe.
That's true. I know how that is. What do you see as your next goal after that? Do you have another book in mind? Do you have like a list, or do you have notes for other books that you're working on?
I've got a couple little things that I could pick up. I've got sort of a tall ship fantasy that I might want to work on, more of sort of a pure fantasy about, you know, magic and gods and things that I could pick up. Hard to say, you know. Who knows, maybe this one would end up turning into a series as well. I didn't expect my first one to, but, you know, it happens sometimes. So
Yeah,
hard to say.
Do you have any events coming up that the audience would like to know about?
Well, I'll be at Gaslight Gathering in San Diego from May the 2nd to the 4th, and I'll be doing panels again, as I did with you. And I believe there'll be a book signing for Iron Wind. I haven't got the schedule yet, so I'm not sure when they're going to do that. But I'll be around. People can just like grab me if they, you know, see me on a panel or something. I'll be happy to sign copies of my books for them, or just chat. So
cool.
That's probably the next one.
I may go as a conventioner. I'm not, my book isn't steampunk, so, but I'm curious about it, so I'm going to go visit.
Yeah, come. There'll be lots of people in fabulous outfits.
Well, I have to tell you, Drew has fabulous outfits. So if you come, you got to see her fabulous outfits.
Oh, gosh. Now I have to live up to that.
Drew is going to do a giveaway. So if you're interested, please call. We have 2 minutes. The number is 646-915-9580. So if you're interested in getting a free copy of one of her books, please call us at 646-915-9580. 915-9580. If the show is over by the time you have a chance to call, please check my blog. We may be able to continue the giveaway on that. Drew, we have like a minute left. Do you have any last thoughts you'd like to share with the audience?
Oh, no, not really. I just really appreciate you having me on here. It's been great to chat with you again, since I didn't get a chance to talk much for the last year. So,
That's true.
Thank you.
I'd like the audience to know that next week I'm going to have author T.E. Ridner, and she's going to talk about her book, The Kattenberg Shifters Series. We're really excited about that. So anybody who would like Drew's book, we have 1 minute and 15 seconds. Please call in. What are your plans for that convention? You said you're going to have a panel. Do you know what panels you're on yet?
No, still waiting to hear back with a final schedule. So I'm not certain quite what it'll be at this point. And other than that, I'll be doing a guest talk about steampunk in the City of Lost Children in Minnesota next week, but I don't think it's an open forum.
Cool. That's cool. And you're going to be actually, it's yourself, by yourself you're giving the talk, or are you part of a panel?
I'll be by myself. Some of the kind faculty at McAllister College invited me up to talk on this subject, so...
Oh, that's exciting, especially for
someone
who's shy.
I know. don't know why I'm doing all of this stuff. It's scary.
We have come to the end of the show. We haven't got any callers yet, so anyone who's interested in the giveaway, please check my blog. I will give you all the details on Friday. Thank you, Drew. It's been a wonderful chat.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you for chatting with Sherry.